On the last episode of Soap,
Ingrid revealed herself as Corinne's mother, which means Jessica is really Corinne's aunt, and Chester her uncle, since Randolph, her father, is her Aunt Jessica's brother. Ingrid has sworn to destroy the tapes. Meanwhile, at the Campbells, Danny no longer has to run around in disguise, since Elaine Lefkowitz has spoken to her father in Danny's behalf. Bert, on the other hand, has become totally consumed with finding his son Peter's murderer, and is acting more and more peculiar. Having found a hair in Peter's bathtub, Bert spends a lot of time yanking hairs from people's heads trying to match it.
Confused? You won't be after this episode of Soap. This is the story of two sisters, Jessica Tate and Mary Campbell. These are the Tates, and these are the Campbells. And this is Soap.
I can't seem to find anything here. What'd you say her name was?
Corinne Tate.
Corinne Tate.
I do not believe this. You make a person turn over their jewelry, a totally barbaric custom, which, may I say, we do not have in Sweden. And then when they do hand over their jewelry to the police, yet it disappears.
Got it. Corinne Tate. It was filed under Corinne, not Tate. That's why I couldn't find it.
I'd love to be here for an execution when you screw up somebody's name and figure it out after they've melted in your killing chair, you dumb barbarian.
All right, let's get this over with.
Well, look who's here, the glorious Tate. So, well, my dear lady, it seems some misfortune has befallen you. I've taken your Corinne and soon they'll take your life. Ha!
Listen, you had better watch.
Be quiet, you boring, stupid man. You all are getting what you deserve. Jessica Tate in Yale. I adore it.
Okay, Mrs. Tate, if you'll just give me your personal possessions, any jewelry.
Don't give him the jewelry, Jessica.
She has to.
Now, Tinkler, this is absurd. Why can't she keep her jewelry?
Mr. Tate.
Tinkler, you're going to pay for this. I swear it. What you have done to my family in the last few days.
Darling, it's all right. It's probably a rule of some kind so that the less fortunate prisoners won't feel jealous. I mean, if I went in there wearing my sapphires and they were wearing nothing but, well, let's say their costume jewelry, it's bound to cause resentment.
Let's move right over here. I need to take a couple of pictures.
Chester, be sure and help Billy with his homework now.
Yes.
All right, we just slip this right over your head there. Let it, but could you just, that's lovely. All right, now, just, watch the birdie here. Excuse me, let's go now.
No.
Oh, no. Come on. None of that.
Tinkler, could we have a moment alone, please?
Well, no, I don't know.
Oh, Tinkler.
Well, look, it's against policy.
Tinkler, for God's sake, she's not Ma Barker.
Okay, but just one minute.
Chester, I'm scared.
You'll be out by morning, Jess.
I've never been in jail before. Actually, I've never spent the night alone.
I know, darling.
I didn't do it, Chester. You know that I didn't do it.
Of course not, Jess. Of course not. Don't worry about a thing. We'll get the very best lawyer.
But, Chester, what about that movie?
What movie, Jess?
You know, that cowboy movie, The Oxblood Incident.
Oxbow.
Right. And they hung Henry Fonda, I think it was, or was that Kirk Douglas? But anyway, I mean, just as his neck snapped, well, the deputy came running up and said, "Whoops, that's the wrong man." But I mean, of course, it was too late by then because there was old poor old Henry Fonda, all bug-eyed with his tongue hanging out. Innocent, but dead.
Yes, it was just a movie.
Chester, where do you think they get those movie stories from? They get them from real life.
Jessica, you won't hang.
Well, If I do, and they do make a movie of it, Chester, promise me that you will try to retain some control, because I have a feeling, I mean, I just have this awful feeling. They're thinking about having Shelley Winters play me. See, I was thinking of someone like Catherine Deneuve. She's attractive enough. Or it could make a wonderful musical. You see, Barbara Streisand could play me, and Robert Redford could play Chester.
That's it. You sucker.
Hey, Mom, is Bert coming out of the basement?
No.
Mom, he needs help.
He doesn't need help.
Oh, come on, Ma. He's been acting really strange. He sleeps down there in the basement. Ma, yesterday he goes out and buys 200 Bunsen burners.
He needed them for an experiment.
200?
They were on sale.
Mom, he should see a psychiatrist.
Look, the man's son was murdered. That's an enormous shock. There's bound to be some reaction to it. He'll get over it.
Mom, last night he told me that sometimes he thinks he's invisible.
He was joking with you. Invisible.
He was serious, Mom. He told me that sometimes he can walk through a room and nobody sees him. He says it helps him greatly with his detective work.
And you believed him? He was joking with you. Look, this is all a reaction to grief. There is no reason in the world to worry about Bert. Are you all right? Bert, what happened?
Well, I think I mixed the wrong chemicals. They were supposed to fawn slightly.
Bert, this is getting too dangerous.
Unless, of course, someone tampered with my experiment. The police. Oh, that Tinkley, he's so jealous of me, it's incredible. Me and my work. The other day, I was at police headquarters. I asked to see a hair from Corinne. They threw me out.
You gotta stop doing this.
Mary.
Oh, my God.
Mary, Mary, let me look at you. You're just plain as ever.
Oh, my God, Ingrid.
When this is your husband? Interesting man. Are you a chimney sweep?
No, he's Al Jolson.
And your sons, how nice. One is a frou-frou. And one plays with dolls.
Hey, Miss Ingrid, whatever you are. Get out of here.
I always thought your first husband was a horror. This one is worse. But now I have a wonderful announcement to make. My lovely, beautiful daughter Corinne has been released.
I knew it. I knew she didn't do it. That was the theory I was working on. I went up to police, stole my notes, too.
Even better than that, Jessica has been arrested. Isn't that lovely?
What?
Jessica didn't do it. She's got red hair.
Not only is the man filthy, he's also an idiot. What are you doing, you stupid lout?
I'm going to test this.
A person comes into your house, you two lout hairs. You dirty, stupid, crazy man.
I want you to leave now.
I would be delighted, but I will be back. I'm not finished with this family. I won't rest until I've destroyed every last one of you. Ha!
Well, obviously the police have no idea what they're doing. I gotta get back to work. That Tinkler.
Huh. Ow!
I hope the fire's out down there.
Mom.
I know. He needs help.
Nice. Real nice. A work of art. Who did this? The new man?
Yes, Mr. Lefkowitz.
Keep him. He's our Rembrandt. So... So. You are Danny.
Yes, sir.
Danny Dallas.
Yes, sir.
My daughter tells me I shouldn't kill you. She's grown very fond of you. So how did you two happen to meet?
Well, you see, I was,
Okay, Elaine, sweetheart, be a good girl and let Daddy talk to your friend here in private.
No.
It's business, darling.
I don't care.
Okay, honey bunch. What do I have to do to get you to leave?
Buy me a present.
What do you want?
A fox coat.
Okay, fox coat. I know.
Oh, Daddy, silver. A good one, no crummy skins.
Your mother need a coat?
No, no.
So, Danny Dallas.
Yes, sir.
You still owe us a favor, you know.
I know. But I can't kill a man, so if you're going to ask me to shoot somebody, you might as well gun me down right now.
No killing. This is a nonviolent favor.
Ugh! What is that?
Is that a finger? Tell Gomez I know him 20 years. He kills a man, I take his word for it.
So what is it?
A finger! I never saw anything so disgusting in my life. You want to see?
No. The favor you want me to do.
Can't tell you now. But I'll tell you when the time is right. Meanwhile, you don't have to dress up anymore. So go home and enjoy yourself, and I'll be in touch.
Thank you, Mr. Lefkowitz.
Don't thank me. Thank Elaine.
I think I already did.
I don't know how to thank you.
I do.
Hey, listen, I really appreciate everything, and so long.
Hold it! Where are you going?
Home.
Wrong.
Hey, now look, Elaine,
oh,
fun's
Daddy.
Fun. Wait. Listen, Elaine, I gotta get some rest. You haven't let me sleep in days.
Forget it. You're coming with me. Upstairs.
Elaine, I'm exhausted. I can't move.
I can.
He's a nice boy. It's too bad. Wait till he finds out the favor is he's got to marry my daughter. He'd be better off dead.
Who is it?
It's me.
Oh, do you know what time it is? Where the hell have you been?
What?
Our one night together. You know what my schedule is like. I mean, I've been waiting for hours. Now we hardly have any time.
Walter, my mother has been arrested.
Oh, wonderful. We finally get a night together and your mother gets arrested. I suppose now you're not in the mood.
What do you think? This is some big thrill for me? I love running over here in the middle of the night for 3 minutes once a week.
I'm sorry.
Hey,
I just...
You have a morning press conference. I don't see you. Your wife gives a dinner party. I don't see you. Your kid plays a sweet potato in the Thanksgiving play, and I don't see you. But my mother gets arrested, and you complain?
Eunice, I'm sorry. I am. I mean it. Come on, forgive me, huh? I'm a little upset. I got this today. Read it.
I know all about you and Eunice Tate. To keep the pictures I have from the press will cost $50,000. Walter, what are you going to do?
Nothing. It's a crackpot scheme to get money. I mean, what could they possibly have pictures of? You know how careful we've been? I personally checked out every hotel room. Do you think I'd get us rooms facing a brick wall because I like them? Oh, Eunice, I guarantee you there's absolutely no way anyone could have ever gone, oh, my God, Atlanta.
What?
Atlanta, remember?
Atlanta?
We had to stay over at the last minute. I didn't have time to check the place out. It was that little place, the
Peachtree
something. Oh, my God. That was the night you heard noises on the roof. I said it was birds.
Birds? You said it was squirrels throwing peach pits.
What are you talking about, squirrels throwing peach pits? Squirrels can't throw.
Well, then, now that's what I said. But you said, yes, squirrels can throw peach pits.
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, nobody was there that night. Nobody saw us that night. Nobody took pictures. What am I worrying about?
Walter. That was the night we played that game.
What game?
Walter! Oh, I can't believe we did that, you know.
What?
Where you dressed up as the Roman gladiator and I was the slave you just bought.
Oh, my God.
And then you tied me to the...
I'd better pay.
And that's actually what you do for a living? I mean, you're a...
Hooker.
Oh, my goodness. See, I thought they only had them in Europe. And you do it with strangers?
Kind of hard to charge a friend.
And so a customer was dissatisfied and turned you in?
No, no, it was a cop.
You mean a cop was dissatisfied and turned you in? Well, let me ask you one more question. My God, this is fascinating. See, I never get to ask questions like this.
Okay, Babette, you're out on bail. Mrs. Tate, your lawyer's here.
Oh.
Benson?
Well, Benson, you're not a lawyer.
Shh. They wouldn't let me in to see you, so I told them I was your lawyer.
You didn't?
Yeah, I'm with the firm of Honeycutt, Pringle, Kaplan, and Black. I'm Black.
Well, you look like a lawyer. Actually, you look very nice as a lawyer. I'll bet you could be one. I smell bacon.
That's because I brought breakfast.
Oh, Benson, look at this. Blueberry muffins and Canadian bacon. Grapefruit.
Well, I knew you couldn't eat the food in here. What do you want for dinner?
Oh, you know what I would love for dinner?
What?
Meatballs and spaghetti.
Well, that's a problem, see, because the sauce will run in the case.
Oh, right. And then you couldn't explain that.
Yeah, especially to Mr. Tate. The briefcase is his.
Oh. Morning, darling.
Hello, dear.
Benson, what are you doing here?
Well, I...
He's my lawyer, Chester.
Yes, Honeycutt, Pringle, Kaplan, and Black.
He's Black.
Well, I guess you won't be needing me.
No. He's not a lawyer. He's a butler. Benson, why are you posing as a lawyer?
Because I couldn't get in to see her as a butler. Carry on, counselor.
Jessica, this is Mr. Franklin. He was Corinne's lawyer. Hopefully, he'll be taking your case.
How do you do, Mrs. Tate?
Delighted.
I would like to ask you just a few simple questions, if it's all right.
Certainly.
Jessica. Now, naturally, the first question I must ask you is, did you kill Peter Campbell?
Well, do I look like the sort of woman who would kill somebody?
It's just that I have to hear the answer in your own words, Mrs. Tate.
I see.
So, would you mind giving me the answer?
I guess not.
Fine. Would you give me the answer?
I forgot the question.
Did you kill Peter Campbell?
Oh, yes.
You did?
No, yes, I remember the question. I don't know how you could ask such a question. Did I kill Peter Campbell?
Did you?
Did I what?
Did you kill Peter Campbell?
Well, of course not, silly.
Sheriff Tinkler found the gun that killed Peter Campbell in your lingerie drawer. Now, do you know how it got there?
I guess I put it there.
So the gun is yours?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you say. I gave it to her for the nights that I was out of town as a precaution.
I don't like having it. Do you know, once I was searching for a particular pair of panties, and the gun went off, shot a hole through the drawer, went right out in the hall, and lodged in a portrait of my grandfather and put a hole in his head.
Which some people maintained he always had.
Mrs. Tate, if we could go on. Now, the knife that killed Peter Campbell was found in your jewelry box. Do you know how it got there?
No, how?
I don't know. I'm asking you. Did you put it there?
Not that I remember.
So you might have put it there.
No, she didn't, I assure you.
Well, now, Chester, I don't know. You remember the time I put your shoes in the dishwasher?
Sometimes her mind is on something else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see. Mrs. Tate, do you know who might have seen you sleeping in your guest room the night of the murder?
No, who?
Do you think anybody saw you?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Franklin. I mean, who would want to see me sleeping?
Fine, thank you very much, Mrs. Tate.
think I've got all the information I need.
Oh, so nice to have met you.
Very nice to meet you.
Would you like some breakfast before you go?
Not for me. Oh,
come again.
Thank you. Mr. Tate, if I could speak with you for a moment. Mr. Tate, let me put this as candidly as possible. Now, your wife, as we know, had the motive. The murder weapons were found in her room with her fingerprints all over them, and she had no alibi for that night. Plus which, the judge, as you can see from the astronomical bail that he has set, hates rich people.
What you're saying is it'll be a difficult case.
Mr. Tate, Clarence Darrow in his prime, arguing this case against a mute prosecutor with a jury of Mrs. Tate's relatives, with you sitting as the judge, could not possibly hope to win. Well, I'm sorry, but I do have a career to think about. I cannot take this case.
What? Can't you recommend something?
Yes, plead guilty. It'll save you a lot of time and money, and the outcome will be the same. Sorry.
What did he say, darling?
It's an open and shut case. You're not to worry about anything.
I'm not worried. I'm innocent.
Will Ingrid really destroy all the Tates and Campbells? Or is this just some Swedish bragging? Does a blackmailer really have compromising pictures of Eunice and the congressman? Or is it merely a school chum playing a practical joke? Will Danny marry Elaine? Or will he decide he'd rather be killed? If the case against Jessica was argued against a mute prosecutor with Chester as the judge, would Jessica really be found guilty? And if she is, will her worst fear be realized? Will Shelley Winters play her in the film?
These questions and many others will be answered on the next episode of Soap.
Soap is videotaped in front of a studio audience.